Soft Serve by Jeanette Cooperman. It has been years, decades in fact, yet my car zips into the drive-thru without hesitation. Not even glancing at the menu, I order myself a cone. Vanilla, not enrobed in chocolate or busted up with nuts. No husband nearby to arch an eyebrow, no dog to insist on sharing. I skid into the Schnucks parking lot, roll down the window, and let my tongue glide slowly around the curve of cool white sweetness, the fattest part of it, just above that reliably chewy, soon soggy, weirdly peach-colored cone. The kid didn't make the squiggly little Dairy Queen curl at the top. So be it. Centering my face above the cone, I descend, enclose the narrowest part of the top scoop. Is it really a scoop? More like a squish. In my mouth, and pull in a bite. Then I slowly spiral my tongue around the circumference again, changing direction a few times, but unwilling to stop. Soft Serve is a synthetic miracle. Satiny in texture, smoother than any smoothie. Cold white, with none of that buttery cast you find in fresh-churned ice cream. I take more of the Soft Serve into my mouth, and feel it melt against my overheated lips. My body temperature drops at least 3 degrees. I lick steadily, allowing no drips. The experience is extraordinary. My mind is focused, absorbed, totally engaged. If someone else were here with me, making idle chit-chat, I might be able to nod or even muster an absent reply between licks. But my real attention will belong to this cone until it has vanished. Few experiences in this distractible age so concentrate the mind. There's a seriousness to the act, an intent, and yet it is languorous, promising complete ease. No ice cream headache, no chewing, no waiting for over-frozen, hard-scooped ice cream to soften, no agonizing over 312 flavors, just a simple vanilla cone, pure as sunshine. A woman peers into the car window and smiles. That looks awfully good. I nod, chuffed at my secret indulgence. It is. No wonder so many Chinese restaurants added soft serve to please all American customers. No wonder Dairy Queen has survived since 1940, when its first store opened in Joliet, Illinois. A cone cost a nickel then, a second cone cost a penny. I was never interested in the fads that followed, the dilly bars and peanut buster parfaits and blizzards. Nor did I care that in Texas, there is an entirely different brazier menu, Texas Country Foods, Texas being indeed another country. Keep your dude, a chicken fried steak sandwich. Keep your blizzard, too, even though the DQ bestseller, which slides out the window by the billions, was arguably inspired by St. Louis's own Ted Drew's concrete, all the way down to the shtick of triumphantly holding it upside down and providing a freebie if any slides out. Just give me my cone. Those domestic differences feel trivial compared to the global phenomenon of International Dairy Queen. What did people in the Middle East think when the first soft serve gushed forth in 1979? Did they even realize how sexy those cones were? Eye of the beholder, I chasten myself. As a kid, all they were was sweet and cold. Today, there are Dairy Queens in more than 20 countries. For a few glorious years, there were even more. The slick American fastness, the instant imported sugar rush, might have been too much for the Hungarians, who pulled out in the 1990s. And you will hardly be surprised to learn there's never been a Dairy Queen in France. Paris has no need of this small pleasure. The world's largest Dairy Queen, on the other hand, is in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Though globalization has been patchy, the spread of such a brilliant concept was inevitable. Once individually owned stores, the DQ franchise went corporate, went international, and is now, I nearly choke, a subsidiary of Berkshire Hathaway. Witness Warren Buffett's famous instincts at work. The franchise's capitalistic provenance gives me pause. A nice local frozen custard stand like Drew's requires less moral vigilance. But the cone itself, am I rationalizing, is less evil than you might think. Only 220 calories and 5% butterfat. DQ's soft serve does not even qualify as ice cream, which must be at least 10% butterfat. Dairy Queen even tried a Breeze once, made with non-fat, cholesterol-free yogurt. It was yanked from the stores 10 sad years later, unable to approximate the magic or the sense of wicked indulgence. John Fremont came up with that classic combination in 1938, when he and his son persuaded a pal to offer the recipe in his ice cream store. More than 1,600 cones were said to sell in the first 2 hours. Together, the three men opened the Joliet Dairy Queen. That building is now a venerated landmark. The recipe is locked in a safe deposit box. Think of all the hot summer date nights. Fireflies sparking above lucky convertibles with bench seats, a guy's arm slung around his girl's shoulders, and a cone in his other hand. Think of the squeals of excited kids ringing through the decades. Dairy Queen might be small town, unhip, déclassé, but it remains the essence of treat. The marketers know this. "It's a real treat," was briefly the DQ slogan, followed by "We treat you right," and "Hot eats, cool treats." Treats are important, especially the simple sort, attainable by all. Dairy Queen might not be kale, but it has brightened many a day. Its role in the nation's social fabric inspired Larry McMurtry. He wrote Walter Benjamin at the Dairy Queen. Robert Inman, Dairy Queen Days. Bob Green, Dairy Queen Nights. And S.E. Hinton, The Outsiders, adapted for film by Francis Ford Coppola. What would Walter Benjamin have made of the place? McMurtry uses the German literary critic, whose background seems so much denser and richer and more cerebral than his own, as a foil. Musing about life in a Texan small town, he wishes he could ask Benjamin what kind of stories arise in a place where nothing has ever happened. Human stories, uncontrived. Experiences lived and felt rather than thought about. The relief of something cool and soft and utterly unsophisticated. Something so shareable, it is part of both the past and the present. Podunk towns and faraway cultures. A silly little cone can serve as a common denominator. A pass back to childhood. A gratification of the body's simplest desires.